Welcome to Wellspring on the Air, where professional Christian counselors share practical life and Bible insights. Why? Because hearts and minds matter. We're glad you joined our show today to hear from our host, Tova Kreps, president of Wellspring Counseling in Miami. Tova is a licensed therapist with many years of experience as a Christian counselor. Tova teaches, writes, and consults, and Life FM is pleased to have Wellspring Counseling restoring hearts and minds in our community.
Welcome to Wellspring on the Air. I'm Tova, co-founder and president of Wellspring Counseling. And today's program is titled, Wait for It. Today, what I want to talk to you about is the value of waiting, something that we as Americans don't do very well. In our society, we are filled with instant gratification, and I admit I am one of those. When I'm driving along, if I have to wait 3 whole seconds for someone to move after a light has changed, it's annoying to me. If I go to a fast food line, I expect it to be fast. I do not expect to wait in any way or form. And it's interesting because I was born in East Africa in Tanzania, and I get to go back fairly often for a variety of mission type reasons, but it's interesting that in Africa it's so different. There is a belief system that waiting is actually an okay thing as opposed to a bad thing, like I think of it here in America. They're used to maybe long lines. They're used to waiting. You know, you have to wait for the right food to ripen in a season. You can't go into a grocery store like here and have every kind of fruit at no matter when the season is. They have to wait for the rains to water the ground, and they have to wait for electricity to be turned on in the morning because the generators are shut off at night, maybe at 9 p.m. In these cultures, there's like a patience in life and that we just don't have here in America. And not just that, but a worldview that good things come to those who wait. I know that for me, when I was there not so many years ago, I was talking to some of the pastors there, and I was going to come back and do some trauma teaching. And I was telling them I'll try to get there next year. And I was going on and on about it. And the pastor looked at me and he just said, "It's okay. When you come, we'll be here." And it struck me for so long. We'll just be here. We're not demanding. We're not in a hurry. And it's just a different worldview. They actually feel, the Christian Africans in East Africa feel actually very sorry for us Americans. They feel sad for us. They'll talk about how we're driven here by our watches and time is our tyrant. And it's this, we can't wait because there's not enough time and we have to do everything right away. Recently, I was really proud of my 3-year-old granddaughter because she sweetly obeys her mother when she says, "Wait till mommy finishes, wait till I finish talking, wait for your brother." And I watch her actually patiently wait and say, "Mommy, my turn." And it's so great because I feel really hopeful and encouraged that if she can learn this one skill, the capacity to wait, she has a really good chance of being successful in life. So here's some research on this. I want you to know that the research shows that this is actually true. That if you have the skill, the ability to delay gratification, to resist that instant reward in order to wait for a greater reward shortly after, that there's a strong predictor of you having future success in school and in careers. There's the classic Stanford marshmallow experiment, which was done in the 70s. And in that, they had little children who were told that if they could have one marshmallow, if they had it now, and if they waited up to 15 minutes, they could have more if they could wait. And the research showed many years later that they had better life outcomes, higher test scores on the SATs, higher educational attainments, a lower body mass index, or a better body mass index, and other life measures that were all better for those students who were able to wait, even starting as young children. Now, later they've shown that there are some other reasons that might be correlations to those that research, but this has been replicated a number of times in different ways, that there is a strong correlation between our capacity to delay gratification, to be patient, to wait, to work for rewards, to wait for those rewards, and that if we can do that versus the impulsive, instant, I have to have it now mindset, that if we have that capacity, our lives will be better. We will be more fruitful, more productive, and more successful. So why wait? Because waiting actually makes us better and stronger and wiser and better people. So we should wait for it. And if we can wait for things, what does it do for us? It helps us do big things and little things that we'd like to in life. If we can have the long view of things instead of the short view of the smaller gain, what can we do? Big things. We can go to college. We can finish degrees. We can earn more money because we have perhaps higher education or higher degrees or more schooling. We can wait for the right person to marry. We can wait for commitment before we have intimacy with people. And then we simplify our lives by not having complicated it with uncommitted relationships. If we can delay gratification, we can save money. If we don't have to buy everything right now, we could save money and then we could maybe buy a house, or we could have less credit card bills and less loans. It's interesting in our society. According to CNBC, Make It, which is some research that was done, almost 30% of households in America have less than $1,000 saved. That's not very much. Guess how much debt there is in America. The average American household has $38,000 in personal debt, excluding home mortgages. And last year, it was only $37,000. So there's this trend of not saving, spending more, getting in debt. So just in that area, we really, really struggle with waiting in America. We can also do little things if we can wait, like we can wait to eat the right food at the right time, which helps us maybe lose weight or feel better or stay focused when we're at work. So today I want to talk a little bit more about this. I want to talk about why waiting is worth it. Why does God make us wait? And what kinds of things should we wait for? So let me just dive right in. If you're just joining me, this is Tova with Wellspring on the Air, and today we're talking about wait for it and the value of waiting. So I want to talk first now about why does God make us wait? So I have some thoughts here. First of all, I think it develops our character in the process of waiting. While we wait, we grow up. We learn to depend on God. We learn to develop a relationship with God. We develop trust. And so that saying, the biblical thing, trust and obey, those things go together. So what are we trusting for? God, we're trusting that he's going to do what he says he does while we wait for him to do that. And in the meantime, we obey. We trust God for the answers. We trust God for him to show up in his time, in his way. And in the meantime, we obey. That's the process of learning faith. And that happens while we wait for him to do the things we've asked him for. There are many Bible greats who had to learn to wait. David was anointed as a shepherd boy many years before he was crowned. Paul spent 3 years, we don't know, doing quite what, from the time he had his blinding light conversion until he started his ministry. Jesus waited till he was 33, doing carpentry work, we presume, before he started his ministry. Moses spent 40 years from the time that he first wanted to help his people, the Israelites who were in Egypt. Then he was called out. He was a shepherd for 40 years, and then God called him back. And what happened to Moses in that time in between? Well, he changed. He changed from being a man who thought he could save his people to a humble man who, when he was called 40 years later after being a shepherd all that time, he didn't even think he could do it. He asked for help. He asked for his brother Aaron to be a speaker for him. And at that point, he was actually better equipped to go do the work because he knew God would do it. He wanted God to go alongside of him and God to lead him and God to do the work. What changed? He waited 40 years. The Israelites spent 40 years in the desert. Something changed in them. They learned to trust God in the process. And so that when they went into the promised land, they knew that God would do that. They had to experience on a daily basis the pillar of fire and the cloud, and so that they knew that God would lead them and that he was the one doing it. During our periods of waiting, God teaches us that he's the one in control, not us, that the results are his, not ours, and that we need to prepare the horse for battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. And it's in waiting that we learn that. Also in waiting, God exposes our character in the process. Now, he already knows our character, but sometimes we need to know it ourselves. So there's an example of Saul in 1 Samuel 13. Saul was set up. The Philistines were coming to fight Israel, and he was back kind of against the wall. He was there waiting for Samuel to show up and offer sacrifice and ask for God's blessing on this. And he got impatient. He just couldn't wait any longer. And so he offered the sacrifice himself. And then Samuel shows up and says, "What have you done?" And Saul says, "Well, I saw the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time. And so the Philistines were up against us. And so I was compelled to offer the burnt offering myself." And what happened is that Samuel says, you did a foolish thing. And because he didn't keep the command of the Lord, he actually lost the kingdom on that day for his children and the next generation, because he was not willing to wait for God's timing, for God's purposes. Instead, he took it in his own hands. And we don't want to be doing that. Well, so far, we've talked a little bit about research, and then we've talked about the Bible and waiting. And so I'd like now, after the break, to talk about what are the kinds of things we should wait for. So stay with us. This is Wellspring on the Air, and I will be right back.
Wellspring now offers professional Christian counseling at 6 locations in Dade County. Therapists are now taking clients at 2 new locations, one at Crossbridge, Miami Springs, and Key Biscayne. For more information, 786-573-7010 or wellspringmiami.org for more information.
Hi, welcome back. This is Tova with Wellspring on the Air, and today we're talking about Wait For It. The value of waiting. We've talked about research saying that if we wait, that we are more likely to be successful in life, that if we have that capacity to delay gratification, we will get farther in life and do better. I've also talked about how Scripture shows us that often God asks us to wait so that He can develop our character and our trust in Him in the process. And now I want to talk about a list of some of the things I think we should learn to wait for. The first one is that we should wait for rewards. Now, that seems sort of obvious, but actually, times have changed. And according to Psychology Today, there's an article which cites some other research from the Monitoring the Future Project research that surveys 500,000 high school seniors every year since 1976. And all of those people are letting us know that there is actually a change in our society about the view of work and rewards. For instance, the boomers, 26% of the boomers don't want to work hard. The Gen X, it's 30%, and the millennials is 38%. I don't think that younger people are more lazy. I'm not saying that at all. And there's certainly the other 62% that do work hard. But it's an interesting mind shift as a whole that you shouldn't have to work as hard as we thought we had to in the past in order to get those rewards. There's an impatience for the rewards. There's an entitlement that I should get it quickly. I should get it faster. And I shouldn't have to wait for it. It's also changed across the board in willingness to work overtime. Boomers, 59% were willing. Gen Xers, 56%. And millennials, it's 47%. So there's this general shift in our society of working less, but expecting to get more. At the same time, the millennials are much more likely to say that money is very important to them and that they really want to have better things. So don't want to work as hard, but we want more fine things. And so there's this shift in our society, being less patient for the rewards and expecting to work less in order to get those rewards. So what do we need to wait for? We need to wait for rewards. Second, we need to learn to wait for physical gratification. We need to resist the temptation for instant gratification of our physical needs. I know, again, I'm going to bring Africa back in, but for me, it's kind of interesting because I think because I live in America, I expected to eat 3 meals a day. It was kind of like an expectation. But when I was traveling in Africa for a while, food became something you ate because we were traveling a lot. You ate when it was convenient, when it was present, and you ate for fuel. So there was a sense of that I shifted in my mind that, oh, I used to eat because it was time to eat, as opposed to eating because I was hungry or because I needed a particular type of fuel, water, protein, some carbs, something to keep me going. And so there was a shift in my mind from food being something I did as a habit or as a routine or as tradition or as relaxation or as entertainment to food as fuel. So we need to shift our thinking about the need for physical gratification. We can wait. It's really okay to actually be hungry. You can just notice you're hungry and wait. Fasting helps us do that. A short fast can help you realize that I want to eat, I notice I'm hungry, but I don't have to eat. And so you separate those two things. Jesus himself said, man does not live on bread alone. There's a sense that he has, even when he's tempted and Satan came and told him to change the stone into bread, and Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone. Food is not something we have to have all the time. We do need it, but we don't have to have it the way we think all the time. And so learning to wait for it is fine. We need to understand that our bodies need to serve us, not us serve our bodies. Some of us are enslaved to our bodies, and we really need to make our bodies slaves to ourselves. 1 Corinthians 9, 26 and 27 says, "Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." We can preach all we want, but if we don't have our own sense of discipline, our own ability to delay gratification in the physical realm, we might lose and lose some other battle. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Giving our bodies over to God is a way of worshiping God. It's saying, "You are living in me, and my body is your temple, and so I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to submit it to you, and I can wait for some things, whether it's sex or food or shopping. I can wait in order to do God's will in my life first." So consider taking some of these short deprivations. Maybe it's Lent. Take a break from sugar or chocolate or something, and practicing that you don't need all those things, and that you are in control of your body versus the other way around. You can wait for physical gratification. All right, so we had waiting for rewards, waiting for physical gratification. How about this one? Wait to spend. Oh, this is a hard one actually for me. Proverbs 21:20 says, "The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down." This idea that we have to have it all now, have to buy that thing now, is really a problem for us. And it's so hard in America because we have constant advertisements in our faces everywhere, on our computers, on our phones, on the TV, on the radio. We hear constant advertisements telling us that we need to buy this and have that, but it isn't really true. So learning to wait to buy, wait till we have cash to spend, will help us not go into debt, not have conflicts at home over finances, feel better, save for the future, feel more confident, and feel more in control of our lives. The next thing we might want to try to wait for is to speak. Waiting to speak is really a great self-control thing. The book of James tells us that controlling our tongue can be the hardest thing for us to do. It's like an evil that pervades our body. It's like the rudder on a ship. That one little thing is our tongue. And so we know it's hard to control our tongue. It's hard to control the impulse to interrupt people when they're speaking, to get our point in and not listen long, and to have to tell our part of the story or our part of anything. But waiting to speak is an art and a discipline we really need to learn. Listening to somebody else when we disagree with them feels like we're letting them win the power struggle, but it isn't true. Listening to them while they say something we totally disagree with is just respectful. And it doesn't mean you agree with them. It just means you let them speak out of respect. So wait your turn to speak. Wait and let people finish their sentence, finish their story. Wait to say your part. And you will actually become wiser. It says that fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. That's Proverbs 17:28. So just know, stay silent, and not only will you look wiser, you will actually become wiser because you will hear what other people have to say. And when you do speak, you'll speak from a greater piece of knowledge. So wait to spend, wait to speak. All right, here's another one. Wait for others to make choices out of respect. All right, this one I'm talking about, our jumping in and trying to control other people to do what we think they should do. Instead, we need to wait for them to choose. Here's the problem. If you jump in and control somebody else, you are actually going to not only annoy them, but make it more likely that they want to resist, because we all have that little resistant, rebellious side in us that doesn't want to do what somebody tells us to do. So the more we try to control other people and make them do the right thing, the less likely they are to do it. Instead, we need to wait. We need to wait for them to stumble on the truth themselves. We need to wait for them to come up with the insights themselves. We need to wait for them to engage in it until they're motivated to do those things. Now, we can be really firm in our choices about our behaviors in response to them. So as a parent, I can choose how I handle my child's choices. But I don't want to control their choices. I just want to control my response. I can pressure them through that, but there's a real difference in that. So waiting for other people to make a choice out of respect increases the likelihood that they'll make those good choices. There are many things we can do. We can talk about what we wish they would do. We can talk about what we'll do according to what they'll do, but that's all different than making them obey. I had a friend once whose 6-year-old threw an object into the bottom of their swimming pool. And when she threw it in, it was at the end of a major fight, and she was in the midst of a major temper tantrum. And so what she did is, out of defiance, raw defiance, she threw this object in the bottom of the pool. So my friend, the mom, waited 8 hours that day for her daughter, who could swim like a fish, to go into the pool and retrieve this item from the bottom of the pool. All day long. Nothing else happened. They didn't eat. They didn't go into play. They didn't anything. She waited out for her daughter to make the right choice, which was to go back in and do it. The mom didn't yell. She didn't scream. She didn't fuss, but she waited. And sometimes we just need to wait for people to make the right choices. And in the end, it'll go so much better if we do that. The last and not least, as a matter of fact, the last and most important thing we need to wait for is for God. We need to wait for God to answer his prayers to us. Not be like Abraham, who says, okay, you're going to give me a son, so now I'm going to go get my concubine and solve the problem for God. Instead, we need to wait for God to answer our prayers. He really will. Scripture tells us that he is never late. It's always in his own time, but his time is not the same as our time. And that waiting process, he waits for us. He waits for us to trust him. He waits for us to obey him. He waits for us to learn that he is faithful. He waits for us to develop that relationship in the delay and in the wilderness and in the waiting process, that deep relationship with him and dependence on him in the process. So waiting on God for his answers. We need to wait for God's leading. Sometimes we run right ahead of him, telling him what he should do and what we should do next, and we don't really wait for him to lead us. Proverbs 13:19 says, a longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul. It's an interesting thing. God knows that we actually will have more satisfaction when we've waited for things. And isn't that true? When we have had to wait to buy something because we had to have cash and it took us 2 years as a kid to earn the money day in, day out, running a paper route or doing something that we need. We don't do that anymore. But doing chores, and we save and save and save. And when we get that object, it is so satisfying. When we worked hard for some degree in school or a diploma, when we've spent years waiting for a promotion, when we get it, it is so sweet. Sometimes when we get things right away, we actually have no value in it at all. It's almost not worth the acquisition. It just leaves us craving more. I want this and this and this, and I need something else because that wasn't satisfying. God knows that a longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul. And so when we have to wait for it, we appreciate it more. I know for myself, we had to wait to have a natural child. And my husband and I went through infertility treatments and then had a number of miscarriages. And when that natural child was born, I can only tell you that the pleasure and the joy of having that child was exponentially relative to the delay and the effort of getting there. It was a sweet, sweet, wonderful thing. And so that's true in so many areas of life. God knows that one of the reasons we need to wait for things is that if we do, we're actually satisfied because we know it's from him, we know it's in his time, and we waited patiently for it. When we just have nothing but nonstop gratification, it's never enough, it's never satisfying. So that's why we should wait for it, which is the title of this show. So I hope you've enjoyed listening. This is Tova Crafts with Wellspring on the Air, because hearts and minds matter.
Wellspring on the Air is a production of Wellspring Counseling, a nonprofit professional counseling center with multiple locations in Miami-Dade County. Wellspring therapists are licensed by the state of Florida and Christian in their worldviews. They have wide ranges of clinical expertise, including marriage, family, anxiety, depression, and trauma. Their diverse group of therapists includes several who speak Spanish or Portuguese. If you would like to know more about Wellspring's services of counseling and education, go to their website at wellspringmiami.org. or give them a call at 786-573-7010, or email them at ontheair@wellspringmiami.org. Again, you can find a way to contact them at wellspringmiami.org.